This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Monday, March 17th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Scoop, latest USDA pause. Canada's new prime minister touts talks. And Feed the Future Labs shutter. Scoop. USDA pauses signing of EQIP and CSP applications. There continue to be new disruptions in funding as the Trump administration gets set up at USDA. AgriPulse has learned that staff with the Natural Resources Conservation Service has been instructed to stop having producers sign EQIP and CSP applications for fiscal 2025 as the agency reviews program ranking criteria and Inflation Reduction Act funding. That, according to a notice viewed by AgriPulse Noah Wicks and two sources with knowledge of the matter. While field staff can move pre-approved applications for the Environmental Quality Incentives Program to approved status, the agency can't get those applications signed by producers during the pause. The pause also affects CSP, but NRCS has not pre-approved any fiscal 25 applications for that program. Do not obligate any contracts until further notice, the email says. Well, it's here today. The 2025 AgriPulse Ag and Food Policy Summit takes place today at the National Press Club. You can still register and watch online. Farm State Senator, tariffs intended as a negotiating tool. South Dakota GOP Senator Mike Round says farmers in his state are giving President Trump leeway to carry out his tariff threats. Farmers still support the president. They're going to give him time to actually make a difference, Rounds told CNN State of the Union on Sunday. In the senator's view, Trump's tariff threats are intended as negotiating leverage to get new trade agreements. Round said, quote, "We have not had a new trade agreement on our ag products in over 4 years, and our commodity prices show that. Most of the farmers and ranchers in our part of the country that have commodities to sell, they're not making profit right now. They're breaking even or less. So we do need to make some changes." Speaking in particular of Canada, Round said Trump believes the Canadians, quote, "did a heck of a job in terms of taking advantage of the United States and the trade agreements that have been established so far. He wants to redo them." Now, keep in mind, the tariffs are merely used as a negotiating tool. They won't achieve another stated goal of Trump's, and that's raising revenue to offset tax cuts. Canadian Prime Minister claims progress in U.S. trade talks. Mark Carney used his first press conference as Canada's Prime Minister to tout progress in U.S. trade talks. Senior Canadian officials, including Finance Minister Dominic LeBlanc and Ontario Premier Doug Ford, met with Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick and U.S. Trade Representative Jason Greer on Thursday. Ford told reporters Friday the meeting had been extremely productive and had served to lower the temperature of the trade conflict. Ford added the same group would meet again this week. "I respect what he's looking to accomplish," Carney said of Trump. "He knows, and I know from long experience, that we can find mutual solutions that win for both." Carney, a former governor of the Banks of Canada and England and Goldman Sachs banker, is expected to call an election before March 24th. He took over as prime minister after Justin Trudeau's resignation. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Dairy Management Incorporated serves America's 34,000-plus dairy farmers and dairy importers by managing research and marketing programs aimed at promoting dairy consumption and protecting the good image of dairy farmers, dairy products, and the dairy industry. Funded entirely by dairy farmers, DMI has distinguished itself as a strategic consultant and valuable resource to businesses and organizations in the food and...
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Expired export licenses could strengthen China's negotiating hand. A slate of expired export licenses for meat facilities sending products to China could be used as further leverage in any U.S.-China trade negotiations to end tariff escalations. Chad Brown, a trade economist at the Peterson Institute for International Economics, tells AgriPulse the expired licenses may strengthen Beijing's negotiating position. This might establish a new floor from the Chinese perspective, Brown said. Trump has hiked tariffs on imports from China twice since taking office, eliciting retaliation from Beijing on both occasions. Some industries and businesses have been urging the president to negotiate a solution to avert future tariff hikes. But Brown said any deal that includes purchase commitments, tariff reductions, or new market access provisions will need a baseline to benchmark new actions against. The new license expirations only add to the unfavorable trading environment U.S. firms face and give Beijing another tool to push for U.S. concessions. It's just one more reason why the industry should be concerned about the escalating trade tensions between the two countries, Brown said. You can read more at AgriPulse.com. Meatpacker producers, purchasers' claims diverge in antitrust case. The nation's four largest beef processors are alleging inconsistencies in the arguments and timelines presented by cattle producers, indirect sellers, indirect purchasers, and consumers who are suing them over alleged price fixing as a part of class action. In a court filing, lawyers for Cargill, Tyson Foods, National Beef, and JBS USA say different classes of plaintiffs have offered divergent accounts, timelines, and impacts in their arguments. They also claim that plaintiffs' experts, quote, differ irreconcilably on how alleged reductions in fed cattle slaughter worked, pointing in particular to differences in opinions between experts for cattle producers and direct purchasers over whether reductions in fed cattle slaughter were transitory. It cannot be that we treat the periods when the cattle cycle favors defendants as an antitrust conspiracy, but the periods when it favors various plaintiffs groups are just the rewards of free enterprise, the lawyers write. Kansas State to cut Innovation Lab staff and halt work. Kansas State University is suspending operations of its two Feed the Future Innovation Labs next month due to stop work orders issued by the U.S. Agency for International Development and USDA's Foreign Agriculture Service. Nine positions will be eliminated, while other student, scholars, postdoctoral fellows, and faculty assigned to work on Feed the Future projects would transition to different work, according to a press release. Previous research projects at the labs included efforts to create drought-tolerant wheat and sorghum crop varieties and improve post-harvest food storage practices. While these specific programs are ceasing or pausing, K-State remains committed to advancing and enhancing global food systems and biosecurity, helping Kansas farmers overcome current and future challenges, says K-State College of Agriculture Dean Ernie Minton. Here's today's final word. My amendment would have put DOGE findings into action, eliminating funding for an agency that spent its taxpayer dollars on woke entertainment and advocacy and set in law the reductions that the Trump administration has made known to be necessary. That's the word of Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky on his proposed amendment to the FY25 continuing resolution that would have written into law the cuts to U.S. aid. The amendment failed 37-73 due in part to opposition from farm state GOP senators. The CR ultimately passed, staving off government shutdown and keeping the government funded through September 30th. Well, that's Daybreak for this Monday, March 17th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Nally.